Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
Asa Gray?
I said yes. You'll see it on the audio. Can you no longer hear me? Did everything break?
No, I can hear you now. Okay. I can hear you now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm seeing. I can see. There's a blip.
Okay. Yeah, I guess just Discord decided it didn't want to pick up in two different spots. Maybe, like, Shannon's talking about, like, doing Skype instead of Discord. And as much as I don't like Skype, he might be onto something. Because
I think for video calling, it's better. Just because that's all they do. Like, Discord is a find what it does right now without the video service, yes.
Man, and it's... And I know that there are some other things that would be real convenient with it. Also, for those of you out there listening not live, we're doing the show live. You can catch us on Facebook every other week. We do Nerd Up at 5:30. You can find us on Facebook. You can interact with us. Like, we've got Krista, Michaela, Maria. Is that all we got in here right now that's talking to us? I know we've got more people than that watching, but those people are at least interacting with us. So make sure you guys hit up that. It's facebook.com/podzilla1985. And we're doing all the shows that way, if you guys haven't paid attention to that. All of them.
Yeah.
I think. I don't think there's any show. Yeah, because you guys do PW Live too, so yeah.
Yep.
All right, on to the actual content here. We got a trailer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, we did.
State. The best part of the Super Bowl. It was easily the worst Super Bowl we've had in years.
No, there was a really good part at the very end where Tom Brady held up the trophy for the seventh time. That was pretty baller. It was in the wrong jersey. That kind of sucked. But, like, everything else about it was pretty cool.
The wrong jersey?
Yeah, it was the wrong jersey. He's used to wearing a blue jersey that has Patriots right around here. He wasn't wearing it this time, so I don't think it counts for that team, which kind of sucks, but I'm cool with it. Yeah, also, all right, sorry, I know this is Nerd Up. This is the thing about Super Bowls that you know how I am. Yes, I would also like to see a good game when it's two teams I don't care about, but it's Brady, so it was exactly what it needed to be. They had that game won early.
I thought you said that you weren't going to like the Buccaneers just because your boy Brady's on it.
I don't like the Buccaneers, but I like them a lot more than the Chiefs.
Dalton, I'm just happy for you. Your insurrectionist idol got another ring. It's, you know, I know you're excited.
Belichick was the one that said he wasn't taking that medal.
There was a ridiculous statistic I saw, and I know that, I'm sorry, we're talking about sports on Nerd Up, y'all, but
it's the day after the Super Bowl.
Right. There was an interesting statistic I saw where Tom Brady now has more Super Bowl victories, Tom Brady himself as an individual, than any of the 32 NFL franchises.
Yup. Yep,
that's bonkers. Yeah, because the most any other team has is six.
So
and
I was,
it's the Patriots, the Packers, and I think the Steelers all have six Super Bowl wins.
Yeah,
and yeah, Brady now has seven by himself.
So Sadie was talking to me about it last night, and she was like, "Who has the most Super Bowl rings?" And I'm like, "It might be Tom Brady, but let me check because believe it or not, Michael Jordan does not have the most NBA championship rings. That's Robert Horry. Who? Good luck if you know who Robert Horry is. He was just the dude that just happened to be on a bunch of teams that won. And it's like, oh, there might be a random safety that has more Super Bowl rings. Nope, Tom Brady at seven. He has more Super Bowl rings than any other player in history.
John Cena has 16 world championships. Who cares?
That's true.
Yeah, but he kept losing them.
Nerd news.
That's true. Yeah, so Tom only lost three Super Bowls.
I don't care. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All right. So, yeah, but
I wouldn't have known this trailer happened if it wasn't on Twitter. Like, because I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I didn't.
Yeah, because I didn't have my annual Super Bowl party because COVID sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, couldn't have Asa over making him watch, you know, sports. All right, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We got a trailer for it, though. Like, full-length trailer with a release date. It's going to start up March 19th, which is way sooner than I thought it was
going to
be.
No, it's you need to keep in mind that it's going to be... So, WandaVision, we're getting 9 episodes, I think. Then it's 2 weeks... And then Winter Soldier and Falcon. And then it's 2 weeks. And then Loki. So we're pretty much going to have MCU shows just back to back to back. Like from
Fantastic.
Now until. The only issue is friggin' they need to stop uploading them at like midnight on Thursday. And just
yes.
put them up at like 3 o'clock on Friday. Because holy crap. Like I don't want to have to avoid the entirety of the internet to not get stuff spoiled.
Yeah.
Eric, my boss, was talking about KFVS spoiled the most recent episode of WandaVision for him.
Wow.
It's just, what? And for those of you who are not around, KFVS is the local news network. Like, local news.
Right, like your local CBS affiliate is, that's what our KFVS is for Southeast Missouri.
Yeah. And they spoiled WandaVision for Eric. So, I mean, like, I don't really watch or pay attention to KFVS, but if it's there, like, right, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I know I had some stuff spoiled on r/Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was just clicking through stuff, and the two new characters introduced, it was spoiled who they were for me.
I have nothing spoiled for me, and I haven't watched a single episode yet.
You need to get on it, but it's like, I was watching.
How has Sadie let that happen?
Dude.
Yeah, how is she not, like, immediately, or has she watched them?
Oh, one second. Well, really quick, because Friday nights when we would watch it, we're both exhausted by that point. I have to take a phone call really quick, so I'm going to mute my microphone.
Okay. I'm assuming it's so work-related. I'm assuming it's work-related, so that's fair. No, I was, so, because I stayed home from work on Friday because of my trench foot, watching Kind of Funny doing a stream, and one of their producers was just like, oh yeah, this person is trending on Twitter, but no spoilers, don't put any spoilers in chat. If you put spoilers in chat, you're banned. And it's like, how are you going to tell people you're going to ban people, and then 2 seconds after you spoiled it? Like, cool. So that, but I mean, overall,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll turn off the stream and start watching it, because I was going to watch it after I was done watching them. But it, like, it was a really good episode, and if you go back 2 weeks from the last episode where we were talking about, I was kind of impatient, and I admitted mm-hmm. it, like, I understood, it's my fault. They fixed that for me.
I kept meaning to message you, because not even this most recent episode, but the episode before it.
Yeah, the one before it was just like, okay, y'all are sick of this, we're...
Alright, yeah, now you want to know exactly what's going on? Well, here's what you want to know so far, mm-hmm. and, you know, we'll get to the more interesting stuff later.
Yeah, so I've liked these last couple episodes. I've enjoyed the whole show so far. I just... Some of the homages, I was like, okay, this is cute, but let's get going. And they've gotten going.
Yeah.
And
boy, have they gotten going.
Theories that I've had have altered and changed, and I'm very, very excited to see, like, where this continues to go.
Because... Especially the bombshell they dropped on us at the end of the last episode?
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
That better be more than just a, like, little wink and a nudge. Like,
it, you know, it's gotta be. There's no way that's just a wink and a nudge.
The one line makes me nervous, which we'll get into later. Baby Vision is terrifying. You're right.
Yes, Baby Vision was terrifying. Also, hi, Lindsay. Everybody wish Lindsay a happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Lindsay.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you should send her a happy birthday message and money.
Yes, send both of those things. Dalton's on the phone, otherwise he would probably also say happy birthday, Lindsay.
We'll see. I'm assuming he's finding out if he has to work tomorrow or not, but that phone call is taking longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, same. So he didn't even hopefully walk everything's off camera all right for there. It's funny because everybody can just see him talking on the phone.
He started to reach for the...
He was going to turn it off, but he just just repositioned it. That's fine. All right. So, yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, though. We got a trailer for that.
Yeah, the actual story.
Yeah, go back to the actual story. There's so much in this trailer, too.
There is. I'm curious what they do with Zemo, who's obviously a part of this.
That was the big news that I was real happy about. Not only... did they confirm via this trailer that Zemo's hitting? He's got the mask, Asa.
He does.
He has the goofy purple mask. And I remember back when that first movie came out, you were really upset because he didn't have the crown, but he didn't even have the mask.
Yeah, it was. And also, like, his character was wildly different. Like, I like that actor. I think, and he did a great job for, like, because, you know, for those of you not paying attention, he was the big bad in Civil War, essentially. Yep.
He's the one that set up Winter Soldier and convinced everybody in the Avengers to fight each other.
By revealing that Winter Soldier was actually the one who killed Tony Stark's parents. They didn't just die in a car crash. And not only that, but Cap knew about it and never said anything.
Yeah.
Which broke Tony's heart and it led to the Civil War conflict. He was the one that masterminded all of that. Of shattering the Avengers, that is, because of what happened in Sokovia, in Age of Ultron. But that character is so far away from what comic book Zemo is. And I like a good, like, don't get me wrong, I think sympathetic villains and villains that, you know, actually are right in what they're trying to, like, what they believe is right, they're just going about it in a bad way. I think those are the best villains.
Yes,
but there's something to be said about just an evil Nazi D-bag who you want to see get punched in the face and beaten up. Like, there's just something cathartic about that. So I do kind of wish that, like...
And I mean, that's where you have, like, your Red Skull. Because he was very much that.
I mean, yeah, that's what he is, but also that's what Zemo is. And that's, like...
That's what Zemo's supposed to be, but
three
what,
of
like...
the top five Captain America villains are just Nazis. Like, you don't need to know their motivation. Their motivation is they're Nazis, they need to die. Like, then that's fine. So Zemo is a much more interesting character in the MCU than he is in the comics. But there's something to be said about, like, they could... It's anytime they, like, do, like, Jane Foster's Thor, like, things like that to me, where it's just, like, you could just let them be a new character. Like, just because it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't mean you can't introduce new, interesting villains or characters. I mean, people will complain that it's, like, oh, you're making up a new person, but we can't get a Baron Zemo yet. Like, you'll get that. Also, his name isn't Baron Zemo. He is a Baron. Like, that's his title.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I'm excited he's back. I'm very excited to see what they turn him into, because at the end of Civil War, he kind of, like, he gives that line of just, like, we stopped you. And he's like, did you? Or, like, you couldn't get what you wanted. And he's like, didn't I?
Yeah, so, the only thing that he didn't get was the ending he wanted.
Right.
Because T'Challa took care of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, that was such a cool scene. That was he was about to do it and just, oh, man.
And again, it's one of the best Marvel movies. Like, Civil War is still one
of my favorites.
And he plays I don't want to sound like I'm super negative on it, because I loved that character. It's just, he's not what I think of when I think of Zemo, but we get in the mask. He might have just gone nuts, like, having gotten captured. So, like, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
So, yeah, we got...
The one thing I do want out of this show, though, more than anything, is for, by the end of it, hopefully well before that, he's no longer Falcon. He's Captain America.
Which we did get in the extended version of the trailer, which I don't know if you saw the whole thing or just what they showed in the Super Bowl.
I must have just seen what they showed at the Super Bowl.
I saw the whole thing.
Because we definitely got a clip of, Sam in the straight-up Captain America uniform hucking a shield.
Okay, hopefully that's...
Huck yeah, we did.
hopefully that's more than just, like, a flash-forward or, like, brief sequence, and he's like, I don't want the mantle of Captain America. He goes back to Falcon. I don't want that. I want him
to be Captain America. Like, Sam Wilson as Cap with some wings.
Oh!
Oh! Yeah, and there's so much of this just looks so good, and I ever since Civil War, I've absolutely loved Bucky and Sam interacting.
It's the it's the best two characters put together in the entire MCU, and you don't at me.
Are you having a staring contest right now?
Am I?
It's a line from the trailer.
But
oh my god!
You know how much fun it is messing with him. Oh, it's so. Oh, I love it.
I like how you're trying to play that off as though you did that on purpose just to mess with Asa.
No, I did.
And not that you had no idea what he was talking about.
No, I definitely did, and it worked perfectly. Oh, he's mad. That's payback.
Asa's face. If you guys want to see Asa's face, Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
It won't be the only time I get him to do this during our nerd up runs.
That's pretty true.
No, they're my two favorite. The whole, like, can you move the seat up a little bit? No. Also, I also love that Mom calls me right when it's the one story I want to talk the most about on Nerd Up. That is My mom's impeccable timing.
Yeah, and of course, Dalton won't actually see this until 2022.
Because I'll be able to watch all of it. I'll be able to watch all of it right before the next movie.
So don't expect much input as it's coming out from Dalton.
Actually, I'll
probably... Because for some reason, he doesn't watch television that he is admittedly excited about. Like, he has admitted on air that he's excited about and wants to watch it, and he will not do that.
Yeah, he watches stuff that he's excited for, like he collects action figures. I'll get it. I'll find it eventually. I'll find it eventually.
I have Disney Plus. It's fine. It'll pop up in my feed.
You still haven't watched any of WandaVision. We're 5 episodes in.
Are we? I thought we were only 4.
No.
Oh, 5. Wow. Good. I wasn't on the phone call. I wasn't on the... My headphones were off during most of that conversation.
Asa, hit him with the 5.
That many. he doesn't deserve it.
I got it, though.
Yeah, well.
No, you got it that many.
So more Disney stuff. Coming March 5th, the official release date for Raya and the Last Dragon. Did you guys actually watch this trailer?
No.
This looks dope. I'm really excited about it. I kind of was just because it's a Disney animated movie, which, you know, those are good. They just kind of are. But, yeah, I watched this trailer, and everything about it just looks great. It looks like it's going to be funny. It's got some kung fu to it. I'm really, really excited about this movie.
I like those things.
Michaela said biggest Marvel villain was Noob Master 69.
Oh, that's... Yeah, he was the Fortnite player.
He was the Fortnite character.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Thor threatened him. It was very funny. All right. So, yeah, I guess that you guys didn't see it. March 5th is when that's going to release. And I think... They said it's going to be like the limited release, kind of like they did with Mulan. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to pay for it. But yeah, so I would very much like to have like a watch party or something like that to watch that.
So like, but when are we getting Black Widow like that? Like, why are they releasing movies that aren't Black Widow when you've proven you can do this? Like,
here's the thing, and I know why they're doing it, because they're afraid that without the theater spectacle, they're not, like, it's not going to do well. Like, not as many people are going to enjoy it because they're not watching it in the big screen.
Honestly, I feel like WandaVision should be all the proof they need that that's not true.
Well, except WandaVision's not, like, that isn't a high-paced action thriller movie.
It also never meant to be.
Like, people are going to watch it, and I don't think that...
People will watch it, but I think that legitimately that's going to hurt people's enjoyment of it. And they're going to they're going to review it more negatively, which I think Wonder Woman 84 is good evidence for that. Like, Wonder Woman 84 hit every single person with kind of a eh, and I think a lot of that is because they were missing the big screen spectacle of it with, you know, the big sound system and
a lot of it is that was a very underwhelming movie.
Outright
insulting in some ways.
I'm not disagreeing. I actually never saw it. But yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that assessment. I just think that
I saw it.
I felt the same way about the original Wonder Woman. I thought it was an underwhelming movie, but you know, the big theater experience it made me think like, oh yeah, no, that was actually pretty good. And then when I rewatched it on Blu-ray later, I was like, why did I enjoy that in theaters?
The first one was better.
That's not good.
Yeah, so like I don't know if that I would that's if you're going to use that argument, that's not the movie I would pick.
Well, no, that is what I'm saying, though, is that like the original Wonder Woman I didn't like very much, but I did like it in theaters. Like when I watched it on Blu-ray again later, I was like, why did I like that? And I think that Wonder Woman 84 would have had some of that with it, like, oh, I saw it in theaters. And, you know, I would have liked at least the, you know, the visuals of it. Like, the spectacle would have made up for the lack of literally everything else. Yeah. And I'm wondering if Disney is worried Black Widow will do the same thing. I'm not saying that, like, Black Widow is going to be a better movie than Wonder Woman 84. Of that, I have zero doubt. But I think that Disney might be thinking that without the crutch of the movie theater, it won't do as well as it otherwise would have. Is my point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they haven't done it. And that's why they won't do it. Like, they've already said they're doing that one in theaters. Like, and then they get pushed like October or something like that.
At this point, it's going to be September 2026.
Yeah, that's the way it feels.
No, we had fans at the Super Bowl. We're good.
Yeah, let's see how that turns out in 2 weeks.
I know, in fairness, I'm not looking forward to it.
Stupid
most,
country.
Most of the
Holy
Super Bowl
crap.
Attendees were vaccinated healthcare workers.
Really?
That was actually something the NFL did for it. Yeah, they specifically gave most of those seats, like they gave free tickets out to healthcare workers that had been vaccinated.
Oh, I picked the wrong profession. I would have loved to go to the Super Bowl for free.
So that actually was something really cool that the NFL did. But anyway.
WWE's not going to do that.
Raya and the Last Dragon, though. Check out that trailer. It's coming out March 5th. It looks really, really good. All right.
Yeah.
Something that I'm less excited about. We got the official casting for Roland in the Borderlands film. And it's Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a typo, and they cast Claptrap.
That would make way more sense.
And I wouldn't hate that.
I wouldn't either. And it's honestly, it's no disrespect to Kevin Hart. Like, I actually like Kevin Hart, and I think he's a great actor. He's a very funny guy. Roland isn't funny.
Like, whoever was in charge of these movies, like casting these movies, did they just see all 50 of the movies that Kevin Hart and The Rock were in together?
And not realize which one was which?
Yeah, they told their assistant, get me that guy. And like, yes, sir. It just like, without looking up at the screen. Like, I don't.
That being like, said, if that means that we get The Rock as Claptrap, I'm also here for it.
That'd be funny. But like, what we saw in Kevin Hart was yada yada yada. Like, he was really impressive, and he's actually going to do great in this. And it's a chance for him to impress people to show that he's more capable than what everything we've seen him do so far, which is fine. But like, man, no. Because, like, Borderlands 1 Roland, no personality. That dude was a brick wall. Like, The Rock would be a bad choice for him.
Yeah,
for
all of the Roland. Player characters were.
Yeah, like, they were all just super. But, like, Borderlands 2, he was more straight man in that than the rest of, like, the original cast that shows up.
Yeah.
He had a personality, but it's just, like, it's not anything that I would associate Kevin Hart as a performer from any of the other roles, which granted, like, that's acting, you know, that's not who he is. Like, Kevin Hart isn't always just Kevin Hart. Granted, that seems like that's what he's cast as a lot. So ultimately this could be cool. And like, if you fast forward to a year, we could all have egg on our face. Like, this could be the Heath Ledger Joker conversation again. I have a much harder time buying that than
I also saw yes. that, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be Tannis.
This is the only confirmation that we've gotten so far.
Gotcha. I think I saw it like today.
There was another actress, like the Siren actress was cast as well, and I can't remember her name. It's not Cate Blanchett.
But Cate Blanchett is in Borderlands, is going to be in the Borderlands. Yeah, so this happened
it
4 hours
Blanchett.
Ago.
Oh, okay. So maybe I just missed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's breaking news.
IGN 4 hours ago, Jamie Lee Curtis to play Dr. Tannis. So that's awesome.
I actually really like that casting.
I do. Yeah, that's super cool. And then Cate Blanchett is, it's not Maya. Why do I keep thinking Maya?
Lilith.
Thank you. Cate Blanchett will be Lilith.
Let's say, there are technically two, well, it's kind of a spoiler, but there are two sirens they could grab before Borderlands 2.
Yeah, which we don't really know. Like, I don't know if this... I'm not excited for this movie at all. We've talked about it before at length that I think that Borderlands as a franchise works so much better as a game than it will as a movie.
No, I agree with that.
Because, like,
so
mission...
I'm not a huge fan of Eli Roth either. So, like, I haven't been keeping up. So I don't know what the time frame is. I don't know if this is before Borderlands 1 is a game, if it's going to be a movie version of Borderlands 1, like, how that's going to go. So I don't know how.
As far as I know, we don't have any of that information. But yeah, so I mean, like, I do like a few of those castings, but I just nothing about Kevin Hart screams Roland to me.
Like, are they gonna Tom Cruise him?
Were they gonna try to get like creative camera angles the whole time
to make him look taller than he actually is?
Yeah, because I think his officially listed height is 5'4", which means in reality he's probably 5'1" or 5'2".
It's that WWE stats.
I was, like anything. Build sports hype. Are real bad about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's also got like he's famous for having like that high pitched, like energetic, in your face, like he would be a really really funny claptrap. But because he's hilarious, like everything else. But yeah, he's not your straight man. Like that's not who Kevin Hart plays. So, but yeah, like you said, he is an actor that's acting. Maybe he can pull it out.
Yeah, if you're gonna pay Kevin Hart money, why are you not just gonna let him be Kevin Hart?
No, and that's the thing. Like, if they just make Roland Kevin Hart, I'm gonna be really upset about it.
Yeah, because that's even though they did give him more personality and stuff in two, that's a leap, skip, and a jump. Now, in that same vein, I have seen a rumor that Werner Herzog will be playing Claptrap.
Ooh.
Werner Herzog, ladies and gentlemen.
Werner Herzog.
He's the super old German dude that's got the...
That would be
very,
a...
very creepy
no,
voice.
That would be... He was in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
He was the bad guy that wanted the baby.
Yeah.
That is Claptrap. Would be hilarious. But anyway, moving on though, Ryan Coogler has been tapped to develop a new Disney Plus series focused on Wakanda. So this is guy that obviously did the Black Panther movies. And yeah, they want to give him Wakanda.
I'm so sad about Chadwick Boseman. Like,
yeah.
Talk about profoundly unfair, you know, but it's hard for me to get excited about anything Black Panther related knowing he won't be a part of it.
No, that's fair.
Because like between him and they had already killed off Killmonger. Like,
yeah. Because that would have been a cool step in. Get, like, Michael B. Jordan in there to be the new Black Panther.
To come back. Like, even if he doesn't come back as, you know, even if he doesn't take up the mantle of Black Panther.
Still to come back and be just kind of, like, the lead man in that franchise going forward.
So, like, part of me expects them to, like, they'll give Shuri the title. I think it would be cool if M'Baku got it.
Oh!
Give me Manape. Or just, like, make him a focus. Like, I put that, but that's probably going to be, like, more of what the TV show is.
Yeah,
but
I'm confident, though, that you're right. It's going to be Shuri will be the new Black Panther.
But I also want M'Baku to be on my TV screen more.
But, I feel like...
That's a whole
I
ass
still
man.
Just don't like Shuri as Black Panther in general, only because I really love her as the Q role.
Yeah.
For that universe, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's really good at it. There's also, I think she's been Black Panther in the comics before.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has. So yeah, there's still a lot of things they could do with it. I honestly, like, I'm still on the, like, yeah, Chadwick Boseman, that's an absolute tragedy. I'm still in the camp that they should recast Black Panther instead of just removing that character entirely. If only because I think that character is too important to the universe.
Yeah, I heard you make that argument.
To have him not exist.
I heard you make that argument on a show, and I disagreed with you. And then you explained it, and I was like, oh, damn, you're kind of right.
I simultaneously, like, I disagree, but I agree.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I
no.
I know there's no, like, that's a stupid thing to say. Like, that's dumb. I understand that. But that's all that my brain can really, like, form. Is like,
yeah, no, you don't agree with my stance, but you think my logic is sound.
Exactly. Like, I completely get it. It's just like, personally, there's like a weird thing of just like, nope, it's, you can't, this isn't like, it's not, you know, if it was a thing that it turns out, that dude sucked. He was a total POS on set. He got fired. Absolutely, recast him. But it was a tragedy, and it's like, oh man, like, and I because I do think that Black Panther 2, I think they killed T'Challa. Think it's a thing, and I think it is going to be, you know, if they don't outright say cancer, I do think it will be it's not a thing. He died in battle. He didn't come, we didn't see him die in a huge, there was a big battle or an attack on Wakanda or something like that. I do think it's going to be something of just it was unpreventable. We can't get him back. We've lost him. And now Wakanda has to move on, having lost their leader in the way that the MCU lost their Black Panther. And I think that I would assume that's what they're going to do.
I would also assume that, but I just,
man, but at the same time, having no Black Panther,
exactly.
And that was Jess's argument. So if you go back and listen to it, cause I was driving, whenever I heard him say it, and I said out loud, nope, I don't want that recast. And then you explained your reasoning and I'm like, damn it, Jesse got me. I completely agree. It needs to be recast. But, I literally 180'd in a minute.
But the big difference though is that they won't have a Black, it's not that they will just have no Black Panther, because I do think there will be that mantle. Because they've lost, they've had generations of Black Panthers have died. It's just not going to be T'Challa, which is a total bummer. But at the same, there will be a Black Panther, and maybe that's something that new character or that character will struggle with. Of just how do I follow in T'Challa's footsteps when he made such an impact over such a short amount of time?
Yeah.
Also, it could be if they do decide to keep Shuri in the Q role, I can never remember her name. But his right hand, essentially.
Okoye?
Yes.
Yeah, that she's the leader of the guard.
Yeah. If she took the mantle, which I don't know how, I'm not sure how the lineage works, if it has to be a member of the family or
how. No, I don't think so, because I think anybody can challenge for the title.
Yeah, I mean, we literally watched that multiple times in the movie.
Well, yeah, but it was a, that was more of a ceremonial thing. Would she have a actual legitimate stake to it?
I don't know. I think it would be pretty cool to have M'Baku fight her and her just body M'Baku.
Yeah.
That would be a very effective scene. That would be
pretty funny.
Especially if it is a thing where Shuri decides, oh, I don't want the mantle. I don't want to take up the mantle. That's not what I want as a person.
Because I do feel that would be pretty out of character for Shuri to take over the Black Panther mantle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one of those, if you think about, there was a lot of, I would like that though, her being unsure, because T'Challa was so quick from Civil War to take the mantle. Just his dad died, he's Black Panther now. It was that. It would be cool to see her be no, this is my, I'm the heir to this, I have earned this mantle, but I'm not sure if I want it, and let that be a thing for a while. I think that would be an interesting take on it.
Well, and it's also worth noting that, the Black Panther is not just a superhero. They're a diplomat. They have to run the country, essentially. There's a lot of responsibility there other than just saving the world and fighting crime. So, if Shuri, it would make sense that Shuri would be I want to be a scientist. No, I'm a scientist. That's what I want to do. I don't have time to deal with, with this. And at the same time, Okoye could just be I have no patience for any of this politics. I'm a warrior. So it'll be interesting. However they go with it, I'm sure it'll be good. I'm really curious to see what they end up doing. And this Wakanda series, to kind of tie it back into what the actual story is, will be very interesting to see what kind of take on it. Is it even going to feature the Black Panther at all? Or is it going to be tales within Wakanda of just citizens and things
like
that.
I mean, there's a lot they could do with that. There's especially a lot of now big characters that, there.
Especially now that, the secret of Wakanda, it's no longer secret. At the end of Black Panther,
he opened
kind
it
of
up.
Opened the gates of, not opened the gates necessarily, but, they are now part of the, UN.
They're not, right. They're not hidden anymore.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that's going to be a part of it, too.
And I feel like it's got to be, but let's move on. Here we got the last little bit of Disney news, because I think, Borderlands. That was the break from Disney. Everything else has been Disney. Thor Love and Thunder has officially begun production. So they're officially filming that now.
Yeah. Oh. Short hair Thor returns.
Oh, that part's kind of a bummer. But, oh!
No, he got long hair back.
That's true. Yeah, Thor had long hair.
Yeah.
I thought I am legitimately thinking of Chris Pratt, because we saw Chris the set photo was Chris Pratt on set. That's what it was. Haha. I'm done.
It's the wrong Chris.
Yep, that's it.
And to the next portion of our podcast. This portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds. You can find them in Perryville, Missouri. Hit them up for all of your coffee and comic book needs. Also, they have a website now. They're selling comics online at villainousgrounds.com. Lots of cool stuff there. All right. We got a new book from Garth Ennis and with art by Goran Sadzuka and Miroslav Merva. That was not a typo. That's actually how you spell that last name. I don't know how to say it.
I mean, I believe you. I don't know who these people are.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say, like, I'm hoping that last name is right. Might not be. M-R-V-A. That's how it's spelled. Garth Ennis is the guy that wrote The Boys. For anybody that's like, that sounds kind of familiar. The Amazon show about the superheroes. He does really good work. This one's going to be called Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal. Already Asa hates it.
Yes, I do. Which is a shame because I do like Ennis's work. I have not seen The Boys. It's on my list, but
it's real good.
I've heard, and I'll see it eventually. But
Dalton never will.
I have Amazon Video, guys. I can watch it.
But you won't.
That's no, I won't. Yeah, no, I won't. Yeah,
we
I
have
know,
not once said Dalton doesn't have the capacity to watch this. We're saying Dalton is going to make the active choice to ignore this.
Well, yeah, I gotta watch WandaVision.
He's gonna watch some dumb nonsense.
I'm gonna choke him.
Yeah, he's gonna watch something dumb on YouTube.
When I do this drive-by drop-off, the thing that Tyler sent, it's gonna be a different kind of drive-by.
I don't think you can say that on video.
I did. Come at me.
Are you gonna really take Maisie's dad away from her?
Yes.
Oh.
And she will be happier with just her mom.
Hey guys, it's that hurt laugh.
See, that's the laugh. That so for those of us who are here on the pre-show of the that actually hurt. If you could hear it, because I think Discord kind of cut it off. That was the laugh.
Oh, that was a good one. Ooh, that one was solid. That was stiff. That was stiff.
Yeah, snugski.
A little snug.
Yeah, that's the one.
Ooh, okay, right. So The Boys. I guess I'm gonna watch The Boys now.
You should. It's really good. But for now, Garth Ennis' new book will be called Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal. It's going to release May 5th, and it's about a woman that just goes in and traverses the timeline, causing mischief and danger all over the place.
Boo.
So it's an entire book about time travel. Mm-hmm. But Asa, it's self-contained, so it'll have its own set of rules, and it'll go from there.
Oh, it'll have its own set of rules that are set up for it to be broken, because they decide to.
That's how time travel can work. But I mean, it's also, it's Garth Ennis, so it won't be a super long thing, so he won't need to change the rules later.
Hopefully.
Because I feel like that's always how that works out. The rules change because, like, the story, you know, years later requires the rules to change.
And they
come up with some nonsense reason for it to do so.
Like, honestly, as much crap as I give time travel and, like, how there's no consistency to it, Marvel did it the best, because they legitimately just, we don't know. Literally anything could happen, because it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You were going back in time and you're changing some stuff, but will it affect everything else? Probably. We'll never see it again, so who cares?
Yeah, no.
And then they're able to get Loki and Loki a TV show and What If out of it, so cool.
Yeah.
They at least didn't pretend to, like,
they didn't pretend to discover exactly rules or know how it works.
Yeah, they so
I, yeah they I went can't. With the they went with yeah, that approach of like up.
Just that's it. Your stuff's gonna get screwed up, but you know what can you do?
Yeah,
you know that's pretty much what Tilda Swinton said. Was just like, what are you gonna do? Here you go.
Yeah, everything's gonna get broken.
Try not to break it too bad, I guess. How do we do that? Figure it out.
Good luck. Here you go.
Oh, you mean taking away the hammer from a certain timeline? Like, that's just, now he just doesn't have it? Or does he? Who cares?
Gotta bring it back in time. Like, you gotta put it back to normal. And if you don't, who knows what'll happen? I don't. No one does. Like, that's the point. All right. Wonder Girl. So we got the from the Future Slate books that's officially done, the DC Future Slate. They did like Wonder Woman, Batman, and a few other books where they kind of went into like this alternate future where like, you know, the heroes retired and everything else, and they've been, you know, replaced. Like different characters have taken up the mantle. And Yara Flor was Wonder Woman in the series, and apparently it was popular enough and it did well enough that she is getting her own Wonder Girl series starting up May 18th, written and drawn by Joelle Jones. So that's kind
of that's
cool.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Right, Andrew, and do the art for your own book. Is this do we know is this going to take place still in that future timeline?
It's going to be like, because in the future timeline she's Wonder Woman,
right?
So this is basically her being set up as Wonder Girl.
Okay, so she's already a character that exists in the present timeline. She's
she was introduced as Wonder Woman in Future Slate,
right?
And this Wonder Girl book is going to talk about her past.
It's going to be like her origin story.
Yep.
Type stuff. Okay.
So yeah, as in like, currently in the DC canon, she does not exist. Like in current day, she just exists in future DC canon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her. This is her being introduced to present day DC canon.
But for her to exist in the future canon, she has to exist in the present canon. She's just a character we've always never seen because like, oh, look who's here. Or are they going to do some effery to like,
I'll pull bring her from, the, from no. the future? No, yeah, this will be her introduction to comic books.
Okay, so it's just like, oh no, she's always been over here. Let's look there now.
this is how she gets started as.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, that makes I like that more than, oh, we're gonna
yanking
bring
her
back
from
here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is not like somebody coming back in time. This is talking about how she got established.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, let's. Because I thought you were about to make a time travel joke when you were explaining it.
No, like, yes, it wasn't please. A joke. It was literally, I was trying to, like, I'm trying to give them the out of, like, it's not time travel, right? Like, this
yeah,
is,
no, it
is
not
I mean,
time
it
travel.
Is, because technically everything is time travel, because we're constantly, never mind.
Asa, please.
Nope. You're the right. You're the one that did this as a one and two on the stories here.
Listen.
Yeah, that was on you.
I guess that's fair. Well, here comes some more stuff from the distant past. Marvel has announced Demon Days X-Men. Another written and drawn by Peach Momoko. This is coming out March 21st. This is a super neat looking, like, feudal Japan style X-Men. Like, we got to see Juggernaut jump down from a tree in, like, this crazy straw helmet thing.
That sounds cool.
It did actually, the trailer made it look pretty cool. I don't know a whole lot about it other than obviously none of this is canon. It's an entirely separate universe. But
yeah,
it looks super neat.
Yes.
And it won't just be X-Men, because we also got to see Venom and some other characters.
Yeah, that's definitely a symbiote.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks way more... Okay, so when you said the name of Demon Days, I was really hoping for like some Edgelord-style
I thought the
nonsense.
Same shit.
But it is much more a like manga-style...
Yep.
Japanese art, which is cool. Like it looks really pretty.
Yeah, no, it's very stylized. It's not like the generic anime style. It's really interesting looking.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we don't know a whole lot about it other than that, but it looks real pretty. And
yeah,
like I said, coming
cool.
out is happening.
Did you hear that
we got
too?
A notification.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it shouldn't be going there. It should be.
That's
going
fine.
Headphones.
It's all fine. Right.
Anyway, where was I that distracted me? There you go. Stephanie Phillips and Riley Rosmo are the new creative team for a new Harley Quinn ongoing. Apparently, they're just restarting it for some reason. They're going back to number one. And I don't know in which issue it will be, or even if it's necessarily... The most likely thing is they're also writing a backup strip, like, you know, like the mini comic at the end of a book that... DC does a whole lot, and, you know, it happens in other comic books as well. They're doing a Batman and Harley Quinn story, but we don't know for sure that it's going to be a backup strip. It might be another ongoing that they're working on, but the most likely scenario is they're working on a Batman and Harley Quinn backup strip, too, which is cool.
All right. That could be cool.
Yep.
I would have thought that they would have tied a number one to like another like movie release or like if the Harley Quinn show cartoon was coming back to HBO Max or something like that. But I don't think there's anything like that. So,
I mean, I assume this is just going to be like the new ongoing post, like the future slate stuff. Which shouldn't have changed anything, but that's...
Yeah, I didn't pay it. Like, I knew the Future Slate stuff was going on. I didn't buy any of those books, like, not even the Batman stuff.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I've seen some, like, pieces of art on Reddit, and it looks cool. I can't invest in that because I'm so far behind on Batman, just space still.
Same. So I'm finally getting caught up on Spider-Man, and yeah.
I'm so far behind on Spider-Man.
I'm so far behind on everything.
So maybe they just wanted to kind of do a little bit of a... I wasn't sure what was going on with the Harley Quinn character in the comics anyway, but maybe this is kind of like a... Not a reboot, but just a new launching off point of... Maybe there's something happened that it's just like, okay, here is a good chance to just start at number one and go from there.
Well, and apparently this is going to have a lot to do with, like, the Harley and Ivy story is the little bit of stuff. So... Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, like... For whatever reason, DC a minute ago ended the them pursuing a relationship, but it was really popular in the Harley Quinn cartoon, so maybe now they're going to kind of revisit that.
Could be.
All right. That's the last of that. Now we got some video game news here to close out the show. EA is boasting more players than ever before in their new Battlefield game they're going to reveal this spring.
If they can even get people to play it.
Apparently they finally did update, because is it just World War One in Battlefield?
Battlefield
right
One,
is the Battlefield One. Is that the most current one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think like Kevin was talking about, they released an update and got the player base back up a little bit. But yeah, that was after releasing a bunch of updates that everybody hated and destroyed the player base.
And released a game that not a lot of people liked in general. Like, I didn't think that Battlefield 1 was very popular, just like, there was the stupid internet people who were just like, it's not historically accurate because you can be a lady. Those people are stupid. But also just, like, the game in general I didn't think was received super well. Plus, it came out, like, right around, like, they tried to compete with Call of Duty and just got obliterated, I thought.
That used to be the thing, like, every year there was, well, okay, because Battlefield released, they were trying to do an every year thing and that didn't work out, so they tried to do every other year. And they would always release it around the same time as Call of Duty. Usually they would try to beat it by a week or two. But, yeah, Call of Duty is just far above and beyond the more popular title because it's a lot more fast-paced, where Battlefield is definitely that huge arena combat.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's gotten a little bit more popular with the advent of, you know, all the Battle Royale games, maybe a new Battlefield that advertised, like, 64 on 64... could pick up some steam and get a little bit more popular.
They would have to have crossplay, I would assume, like, because Call of Duty has crossplay, so they couldn't.
Yeah, no, it would blow my mind if they didn't do crossplay at this point.
Because, like, I know Battlefront 2 just got a huge boost to the PC. The Battlefield 2 got a huge boost on PC because it was free on the Epic Games Store. But I don't think that they,
like, to a point where EA was actually struggling, like, their servers, they couldn't handle the influx of players getting it for free.
Oh, that's cool.
I think they finally gotten it fixed up now, but also, Michaela, it's a game based in World War One, and there weren't many women on the battlefield in World War One, and that was everybody's point. That's why everybody got
pissed. And so, when Jesse says everyone, he means
neckbeard
yeah. morons.
Yeah, sorry, not everyone.
On the internet. there was a very vocal minority of people trying to claim that the war game that you heal by not getting hit for a while was not realistic.
Yeah.
So, because there were female characters. It's mostly just a bunch of whiny dudes, which is the majority of complaints about video games, is it's just whiny dudes.
How dare they appeal to an audience other than them?
Right. They don't understand that. They don't understand that there's other people that play video games and
I don't feel represented enough.
That's so still, oh God. I hate it. Anyway,
we don't know a whole lot about other than that, just that it's going to be huge.
I hope it's good because I think Call of Duty desperately needs some competition. just because, like, as good as the games have been, like, I enjoyed Modern Warfare a lot. I haven't played a ton of it comparatively, but I really like Cold War. But competition is always better. Like, competition always leads to improvements because they have to be. They have to be better than what's coming next. I think it's a given that we get a Battle Royale mode in Battlefield, the Battlefield sequel. That could potentially be what they're talking about. Of it's just like, look, 100 people can play it at once. And
I would like to think that they would go, because, like, there was this old PS3 game that not a lot of people will probably remember called Mag.
I remember it, because it was 100 versus 100, wasn't it, or something ridiculous like that?
It was 64 versus 64.
That's what it was, okay.
And if they could do that back on the PlayStation 3, I'm sure that Battlefield can handle that now. So, yeah, I'm hoping that's the direction they go with it. That could be kind of cool. Outright chaos, because Battlefield always was, but I mean, the maps are always huge.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually where me and Kevin first started playing a bunch of first-person shooters together. No, that's not true. We played a lot of Halo 2 before that. But as much Halo 2 as we played, I think we did play more Battlefield 2. The original one, not Bad Company or anything like that, on the PC back when we were in high school. And it was super fun doing, like, 32 on 32, like, mm-hmm. just massive multiplayer games.
Squad-based.
Yep.
Spawning, taking locations. I will say I don't like those game types, because I'm not good enough at first-person shooters to stay alive. So
you don't stay
always,
alive.
and that was the... there was a mode in World War II that Shannon liked that I hated, because it was, okay, spawn
I
in.
I also hated that mode.
Run for 20 seconds to get to the spot where all the fighting is, die immediately, wait 5 seconds to spawn, respawn in, run for 20 seconds to the...
And it was literally like you were overwhelming them as a horde, is what you were doing, and eventually you got through.
Except they were the horde every time. Like, I never got to be the horde.
Well, I mean, like, we always... killed. We got through eventually. Like, we would
just
get,
take
like,
some time,
basically...
Baby. Oh,
yeah, the
team
people,
did.
The people doing the assaulting would get, like, one kill for every three deaths, and eventually you would be able to move up and move through.
And that's just not fun to me.
No, it wasn't fun for me either.
So it's why I'd never played any of like the bigger those bigger map types, because Call of Duty Cold War has map types like that. And they're way bigger maps. You can do like you load in with other squads. Like there are game modes where you can do that, and I avoid those because
the Battlefield games are significantly better than that, mostly because the maps are significantly larger.
Which isn't always good news, though.
I mean, that's true. But you're not like, because basically what would happen in those World War II game types, you would get funneled. Like, everybody would had to get to this spot. And they all had to go, like, you know, 300 style up into here, and then eventually kind of, you know, try to overwhelm the opponent. Whereas, like, Battlefield, you kind of have, at least back when I played, I haven't played a Battlefield game in a long time, but you had to capture specific zones, and you could capture any zones in the map. There are similar Call of Duty variants, but even those maps are smaller, like the Ground War games. But yeah, even those maps are smaller, and it's, you know, Call of Duty, so everybody's just sniping, and sniping is way easier in Call of Duty than it is in Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, it is what it is kind of a situation. But anyway, yeah, we'll find out more about that, and I agree with Asa. A competition for Call of Duty is good. You can't be... Like, being the only game in town means that they can do whatever they want to you, and that's never good for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it'll be a modern shooter? Or do you think it'll be, like, World War II?
I imagine it'll be a modern shooter, because that's what everybody else is doing nowadays. They've done, like, there was a period where everybody was releasing old-school shooters again, like the World War II and World War I. I think we're over that, and now we're going back into modern stuff.
I don't know, that was the last Call of Duty I played. Was it World War II was the last one that...
Yeah, World War II was the last one you played, and I got you to play it because of the shotguns.
It was so much fun. The incendiary
shotguns. Yep. Woo! Alright. Moving on, though. Mass Effect Legendary Edition. We got a release date for it, finally, and a much bigger trailer. That's going to hit on May 14th, and I actually am weirdly excited about it.
Like, in the sense that you're not excited? Because if you're excited about it, that's not weird. You love Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I don't...
That's true. But like, I mean, I never did play Andromeda, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, but that's the one people don't like.
Yeah.
I still have... Even though, like... I make the joke, like... I think I made this joke in the group chat. Like, I'm going to buy this game on day one, and then 3 years later, I might actually unbox it and play it. Because I still have a sealed copy of Mass Effect Andromeda that I bought on release day.
Which, yeah, honestly, like, if you played it now, apparently it's going to be better, because a lot of... Apparently that game is, like, it's been fixed, and it's, you know, maybe not, I don't know about good, but it's a lot better than it was
gone.
At launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least, all the bugs are gone. Yeah, no, I mean, I would like to play it, and part of me wonders, like, if I should wait until after the Legendary Edition comes out to actually play through it or give it a shot, or if I should just start playing it now.
Oh, you just start playing it now.
I'm kind of excited for it, because it's like, this is finally my chance to actually play Mass Effect. I rented the first one, and I hated the controls. So I maybe got like 3-4 hours into it and didn't touch it, never went back. And then by the time 2 and 3 came out, and apparently were way better, I know 3 had its complaints, or people had their complaints with 3, but...
That was all story. The gameplay was great.
So I just was like, okay, well, I understand that there is a recap part on 2 that I could do, but I didn't want to do that. So they've apparently completely retooled Mass Effect 1 controls wise. So I'm excited to give it a shot, because I know it is like so beloved by a lot of the internet, and I like that style of game theoretically. I did not have fun with the way that game handled Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
So if they fix that, then cool. Maybe, like, this is my chance to jump into that.
I mean, that's fair. There was a lot about it. Mass Effect 1 controls that took some getting used to. And even, like, the beginning, the game was kind of boring until you got... I always told people, play until you get off the Citadel. Because, like, everything kind of leading up to that is a whole lot of setup. Like, setting up the world, setting up what's going on, the current events, kind of teaching you how to play the game. And then once you get off the Citadel is when everything starts kind of, like, unfolding and becoming mm-hmm. pretty great. And there was a lot of stuff in there that always did kind of irk me, like just some classic video game tropes. Like, I remember one of the ones that irked me the most, like with sniper rifles as an example. It's one of those games that as you put points into knowing how to use something, you become incredible with it. And like the difference is pretty staggering. So it does do that thing where like you can use any gun in the game, no matter what class you pick, but you are going to be absolute garbage with it until you put some training points in it. And I remember the sniping in particular with no points in it. That sucker, like, there's no way that you could hit anybody with that thing without, like, a lot of time, effort, and then a little bit of prayer. Because the sway on it is just... It looks like you're trying to fire into, like, I don't know, like, you've got a kite attached to the end of the gun, and there's some kind of, like, monsoon going on.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, like... it was ridiculous. It's like, okay, but I am a master with an assault rifle. I can hold that sucker steady. And with the sniper rifle, I'm like, I don't know how to work this. It's just kind of going... It's so dumb. Yeah.
So apparently, like, they fixed that. And that was the thing I didn't like. Like, the thing that I didn't like is it's just like, oh, you have the aiming stat. Because it's part of why I never really got into Fallout either, which I'm going to give Outer Worlds a shot. Of just, like, my reticle is right there. It's perfect. But I pull the trigger, and the bullet goes over here. Like, what?
Yeah.
No, at least Borderlands, it makes the reticle, like, move.
Right. Like, yeah, if you're if you have, like, one that doesn't have very good accuracy or something like that, then, yeah like, you... Or it has a lot of sway to it, or whatever. But, yeah. And then, with Mass Effect... With the way the snipers worked, as you put points into it, it went from that to just, like, there's zero movement at all. Like, you were, like, this dead aim, like, you don't flinch, it's just, like, where that cursor, or where that reticle is, that's what you're hitting. Mm-hmm. And that was, yeah. So anyway, I am really excited about this. We've seen some side-by-side footage. It looks incredible. The Mako looks great. They've redone the controls for it. It all looks so good. So yeah, I'm excited for it now for Ace to actually play through this, and I'm sure Hunter will be excited to have another person to talk to about this game, because I think me and him are the only people that have played it in our entire friends group.
Oh yeah, I'll probably especially if like once I'm back in the group chat, I can just be like, or I'll probably have to start a second one so I don't annoy like everybody else, but I'll just send you guys a message of just like, holy crap, this just happened, because
Because there, I mean, there are a lot of those moments where it's just like, oh god, this was so cool.
It's like, oh, you're the only ones that will understand this. But no, I think it's cool. I will more than likely end up picking it up. I don't know, like, because I don't know if there's a ton of other stuff coming out.
You know, this year in general, like, obviously we'll have the fall releases once those hit, but yeah, there's not a lot of a big spring and summer hits.
Everything's getting delayed, which, I mean, get used to, because that's gonna happen. Especially, I think Cyberpunk specifically is going to be the reason that a ton of stuff is going to come out later than they originally said.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's see. We got confirmation that Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 will not release in 2021.
See the sentence I just said.
Yeah.
Which, granted, those were never confirmed for 21 at all, but they're getting out ahead of it because they know that's all everybody is saying, is they've been talking about Overwatch 2 for years now, it feels like.
Well, yeah, because they announced it BlizzCon 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's already Funko Pops. Overwatch 2 already has Funko Pops, guys.
Does it really?
Yes!
Oh, wow.
I didn't know about that.
Because, like, Overwatch 2 was mostly going to... Because, like, Overwatch 2 was going to mostly be single-player stuff, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, basically,
if you don't buy Overwatch 2, all of the... But you have Overwatch 1, you're basically getting all of the multiplayer from Overwatch 2 stuff.
Because, yeah, they're converting everything over. Yeah, with Overwatch 2, they're adding in a bunch of, like, not necessarily single-player, but PvE elements to the game. Like, with more campaign stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no,
that's
you're...
the stuff you would have to pay for, but, like, the multiplayer, like, maps and modes, those you're gonna get... Or, like, the dedicated, like, you know, maps for Capture the Flag or whatever the modes are. That's how long it's been since I've played Overwatch, is I think Capture the Flag is a mode. I don't think it is.
No, it's not.
It's mostly Capture Points, is what I meant to say. So, but yeah. And then Diablo 4 was the one, it's just like, that was the, no, no, we're making it. Please stop yelling at our online people.
Please.
After saying, you know, what, you guys don't have phones? But yeah, I don't think there was a chance that was going to come out this year, more than likely. I'm ready for it.
I mean, I think that had COVID not hit, we could have gotten one of those two games by the end of 2021 pretty easily.
That's true.
But I mean, even like Shadowlands was pretty far into beta that year, because they gave us the big trailer for it and everything. And even Shadowlands got delayed, like, twice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, like, COVID messed a lot of stuff up. So I'm not, I am not surprised at all about this getting... Like,
which, honestly, like, it's a bummer, but also I completely understand, because it is not worth people risking their safety and their health for a video game.
Yep.
Like, I'll be fine.
I want Diablo 4 real bad. Yes. I'm real excited about that game.
I Overwatch look forward 2, to us...
Like, I will probably play a little bit of, like, Overwatch. Most, all of my PC friends that played Overwatch, except for, like, maybe one who plays occasionally and sporadically, have all moved on. So, like, I'm not going to play that game by myself.
I very much look forward to us taking a week off of work and sleeping for a total of 3 hours.
Playing Diablo 4.
When Diablo 4 comes out.
Yeah, no, that's going to be awesome. I'm excited about that. But yeah, for now though, we'll see what happens when we get it. Then the last little bit of news, not stuff we normally talk about, but things that are interesting. Stadia is shutting down their internal dev studios. Which, it doesn't mean that Stadia's done.
Hmm.
I mean, not that
I
it
mean,
was...
yet.
It's not dead yet, but it's not looking good.
This is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. When you look at the talent that they pulled to start their studios, and then they close them before they even got a chance to work on a game for a fraction of the time that it takes to make a game, are you kidding? Oh my, talk about, I'm just like, it's genuinely infuriating to me.
It's,
but don't get me wrong, I haven't picked up my Stadia controller. It's sitting right over there. Nope, I actually did. I take that back. I picked it up to move it into this drawer because I have not used it. I haven't used it since my free trial from buying the deluxe edition went out. I didn't think it was what they delivered, but holy crap, Google completely and utterly fumbled everything about Google Stadia.
That is the embodiment of, we have this idea, let's do it. But they don't, like, they didn't go into the weeds about how it was going to work.
And then didn't help that Microsoft delivered around the same time, they gave us their beta for xCloud. and it was just out the gate a million times better.
Yeah, and like with a better library, it's like xCloud is a phenomenal service, and it was ahead of what Stadia was even when it was in beta. Yep. And then kind of semi-related, the guy who's replacing Jeff Bezos as CEO for Amazon, he's said that like Amazon is very committed to the idea of making games, and of because they have their they launched their Luna, is it? I think it's Luna. They launched their Luna service, or it's about to come out, or it's in beta or alpha or something, I don't know. But they're getting into streaming services stuff too, and apparently they are the new CEO or incoming CEO is like very committed to it. It's like we'll see. But like, man, what a gut punch. Like I'm mad, one, for the people who were told to be like given this opportunity and then that's just been stripped away. Two, I'm kind of mad of just like, okay, well, if they hadn't gotten poached by Google, where would they be? What would they have worked on? Like, what did we miss out on not getting?
Because you had this phenomenal talent that was just
like Jade Raymond
elsewhere.
Like, what, Jade Raymond has been just out of the game for like 4 years now because of Google. It's like, what could she have done? It's so frustrating. And honestly, yeah, I think Google will shutter Stadia by the end of 2022. I think it will no longer be a service.
I mean, as long as Google Plus is around, I think that Stadia will be around until 2025. But I think it's going to be a slow, slow, painful death unless they get some like crazy exclusive contracts. Because
I just heard you.
Do what?
I very much thought you said as long as Google Plus is around, and I was like, Google Plus is no longer around. No, but you said as long as Google Plus was around. That makes more sense. I was like,
yeah, I mean, there were still 150 people using that by the end of the service. It was the same 150 people that signed up for the beta. And they're the only ones that ever used it outside of like, oh, I have a Gmail account, so I got one of these for free. I guess I'll see what it's about. Dumb. It was about dumbness.
I'm mad. This is dumb. I should have known better. I should have never given him my money. I was excited for it. I thought it could be cool.
Yeah, no, the premise was cool. I was really excited to do because I had the Raspberry Pi idea. Like, I was like, why can't you just do this? This sounds awesome. Then I have a wired connection and everything, and then even that was like, it doesn't exactly work on that because reasons. If you don't have a Pixel phone, you can't get, everything.
what an absolute, bumble.
Yeah, like I said with Microsoft xCloud, the technology is there; it works. Like it can work just fine. They just fumbled. Every single aspect of that release, they botched, including shipping them out. Yeah. Everything they dropped. Oh, God. Worse than the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Heyo.
Dalton wasn't even paying attention. That was for him. So,
sorry.
The last little bit of news. We got a new tabletop RPG has been announced, set in the world of Avatar The Last Airbender. And there's also a picture of Korra, so presumably it encompasses both, which is extremely exciting to me. We've been looking for, like, a good, homebrew for that world for a long time, like me and my roommate Andrew. And, this being, like, an official release with rules and everything set in, like, and modules ready to go for it, I'm super pumped about this, so I wanted to talk about it.
Who's doing it?
That's a great question, Asa. And something I probably should have had written down.
So that means, I'm assuming that means it's not Wizards of the Coast.
It is not Wizards of the Coast.
Okay, so that's, I love that world and I love that those characters, but I don't know how, I don't know how much I would enjoy doing a tabletop
Magpie Games.
Okay.
I hear you. Like, I understand the complaint there. It's really going to depend a whole lot on how, like, the character building and the world building works. Like, if I'm just playing through the story as, like, you know, the gang or, Team Avatar, whatever you want to call them. Like, if I'm just playing through the world as those guys, then no, like, it's going to be kind of dumb. But if I can make my own waterbender...
It wasn't just going to be like, oh, you get to play as Aang. Like, you get to play as whoever. But, like... Is it going to be a like, what was the Star Wars thing? Was it the original Star Wars MMORPG where it was only like 1 out of 1,000 Galaxies? People got to be a Jedi?
Yeah, like, and it wasn't just that. Like, the requirements to become a Jedi, like, they were extremely rare in that game, and the requirements to do it were really hard and lengthy. Like, it wasn't something you could just, you know, go out and do.
Right, like, so is it going to be, like, is it going to be, oh, you can be, you know, you can be a bender, you have to pick which kind you want to be. Obviously, you don't just get to be the Avatar. Or is it a, okay, it's a party of people like Sokka, and just regular people in the universe of these, like, superpowered...
I assume that it would work a lot the same way the current Star Wars tabletop works, where even, like, when you get Jedi in those parties, like, you can do, like, all sorts of different character classes, and they all kind of have their own amount of usefulness and everything, and I assume that'll be the similar kind of thing. Like, you can pick, you know, a character like... Suki or Sokka or, you know, any of the non-benders or, oh god, why can't I think of her name? Asami. Like, and they have their own, like, benefits and stuff like that to playing that character class as opposed to playing a bender.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's possible to create that balance without, like, making it less fun to play those other character classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's how it'll be. They'll just have different mechanics and stuff.
You said Korra? Like, they had art that had Korra?
Yeah.
Featured? Okay, so I still haven't seen Legend of Korra, so as spoiler-free as you can answer this, wouldn't that mean... So are there airbenders back in Korra? Because I know that only takes place, like, 50 years in the future. Like, it doesn't seem like it's a huge leap in time.
You think it's 70 years is the time gap between the two?
But, like, have airbenders come back, or is it going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, nope, you only get to choose from fire, earth, water?
I don't know how to answer that question without a big spoiler.
Okay. So that's fine. You can leave it there. Because I assumed this was going to be, like, a prequel. Like, it was going to be Knights of the Old Republic style of just, like... Nope, there's such a rich lore that Avatar World has because there's, you know, 100 generations of an Avatar and all of these societies are, you know, it doesn't seem like there was, you know, a primitive sense every time he, you know, Aang communicated with one of his predecessors. So, like, makes sense. Yeah, no, you could go all the way back to, you know, 500 years ago and it's...
I mean, they very well could do something like that. Like, go back to, like... Because we have a pretty good... Like, we have a pretty established amount of lore from Avatar Kyoshi's time period. Which was two Avatars before Aang. And we have even more for, obviously, the Avatar before Aang himself. And so there's a lot of time periods they could draw from. But they specifically refer to events happening inside both The Last Airbender and Korra.
Okay.
And we also have, like, a pretty good established amount of lore between the two, because they've been doing comic books going between the two shows. So, yeah, it could be all over the place. Like, they could very well have timelines everywhere, especially the way the game works. Like, all they really need to give us is character class mechanics, and people can make their own modules and stories.
And it makes sense, like, that they would do that, because, you know, you have those established characters that you can kind of play with a little. I didn't know if they wanted to do that or if they wanted to avoid that, because... That also
I don't know. It's one of those things, like, where the rules should work. Like, if they give us rules for the technology that comes about in Korra, and then rules for how the character classes and everything works, then yeah, like, that could stretch all the way back to Avatar Wan. Maybe not all that far back, but anyway, I really like Avatar, y'all, and I'm excited about this.
I need to watch Korra.
Yes, you do.
I might do that I might do that over this long weekend. There's so much stuff I need to watch, though. And every time I'm just like, Rick and Morty.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us, though. Thank you so much for listening, folks. And thank you for tuning in on Facebook Live once again. If you're ever curious about checking that out, you can hit us up on facebook.com/podzilla1985. Nerd Up, we stream at 5:30 p.m. every other Monday. And then most of the other shows, we start streaming at about 8 p.m. So you can catch all those. Like, if you want to check out After Dark PWU or Horse Time or whatever other show you want to check out.
For now, PWU, though, we usually do around 7.
Okay, yeah. 7 for PWU, 5:30 for Nerd Up, 8 o'clock for everything else. All right. Thank you all for listening. See you next time.